Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 27, the bottom of the page, the last paragraph, which starts, upon hearing this. We're reading through that paragraph at the end, spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. Today's readers, we have reading the 12 steps, Mary S., 12 traditions, Jen P., reader of the text, Nancy P., page 164, Tony B., our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and our second hour host is Betsy H. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, March 30th, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the code is 23,323. That's 23323. And for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the code is 23,324. That's 23324. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary F. to please read the 12 steps. Come on in, Mary.
Good morning, Kath. This is Mary F., calling from Virginia, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thanks, Mary, for your March service. I'll now ask Jen P. to come on in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning. This is Jen P. calling from New Jersey. Grateful, abstinent, compulsive overeater, one day at a time. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve. I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen, for your service in March. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 27, the bottom of the page. We're finishing that page, the fifth paragraph, which starts upon hearing this and goes to the bottom, spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I'm now going to ask Nancy P to come on in and start us off. Come on in, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for letting me share. Nancy P, recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. So I'm not a good church member, and I don't care about God. I'm agnostic. And so what was I going to do? And, you know, I bear no resemblance to this guy other than that I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. But what I feel like is that, you know, I got better. And not only did I got better pretty fast. I mean, like the initial pump of getting over, like the eating compulsively, that stopped right away. And I felt better, like, pretty much right away. And then, you know, 10 weeks later, I was done with the steps and sponsoring 10 or 11 weeks later, I was done with the steps and sponsoring people on my own. You know, I was told to do that, even though I was like, forget it, let's do the steps again like a cycle. And my sponsor laughed at me and told me that that was going to happen. But so this, you know, this attitude of, you know, being a good church member isn't going to get the guy very fast. Very far, rather. And none of my other dumb ideas got me very far either. Like, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, right? The easier, softer way. You know, this guy thought that he had a built-in sort of excuse, you know, elevator, like taking him up to the top by saying he was a good church member. And, you know, guess what happened? Nothing, because nothing changed. So, you know, I had to have all my ideas destroyed too, because they didn't do me any good at all. In fact, they didn't spell the necessary vital spiritual experience, or in my case, spiritual awakening. That's what I think. I don't care for the word experience. Whoever's ever turning pages, could you please put your phone on mute? So I love the word spell, because it's like this language of the steps, I didn't understand it. I couldn't read it. You know, I've had this book, I can tell you, for the exact date. I got it from my parents as a gift, June 23rd, 1979. And I read this book tens of thousands of times in all that time. And I was like, okay. And I'm still eating. That's all I could ever do. I felt better when I was reading the book, but then I'd put the book, go home from the meeting or whatever it was, and I wouldn't feel better. I would feel terrible. And so then when I was absolutely defeated, and forget about even being defeated, that wasn't it. Everybody knows what I'm going to say. It was the surrender. The surrender was acted like the Rosetta Stone for unlocking the secrets of this book. Suddenly, I could read it. Suddenly, I could comprehend it. And it didn't come. I'm smart. We're all smart. We all have like smart people, doctors, lawyers, teachers, nurses, police officers, you know, all kinds of people in this program. Everybody's smart. But I couldn't read this book and understand it, or I couldn't implement what it said. And, you know, until I surrendered. And once I surrendered, suddenly everything was clear. Not only did it unlock the secrets of the book, it allowed me to harness the power of it, the directions, to in a way that worked for me. I'm not like everybody else. We're all different from each other. We all follow this basic set of rules, this basic set of tenets, steps, and we apply them to our own lives. Thank you. And, you know, I owe it all to one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thanks for your service in March. I'm now ready to take some names. If you'd like to share, press star one. Give me your first name and first initial of your last name. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday at either vision meeting, we ask that you hold back. So I'm ready for a lineup. Who'd like to come in and share with us?
Tony B.
Thank you, Tony. If you'd like to share, press star one to unmute your phone. I have you, Jason. Thank you.
Lucy A.
Good morning, Lucy. Thank you.
Joy MB, California.
Thank you.
Cameron C.
Excuse me?
Cameron C.
Cameron?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Anyone else want to join the first lineup? We're on page 27 in the big.
Sorry.
Thank you, Vasa.
Thank you.
That's okay, Vasa. I have you. We're at the bottom of page 27, the fifth paragraph, upon hearing this. I have Tony B., Jason, Lucy, Joy, Cameron, and Vasa. Anyone else want to join this first lineup? If not, we're going to start with Tony B. Come on in, Tony.
Thanks, Chris. Sorry. Why has your name just gone out of my head?
Kathy, it's okay.
Kathy, thanks, Kathy. My name's Tony B, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And thanks, Nancy, for your lead share and everyone doing service. He's got a bit of hope here on hearing this because he's a good church member. But it's not going to do the job. And the doctor tells him that while his convictions were very good, in his case, as a hopeless, helpless drunk, like this being in this position where nothing can save him but a complete change. But this entire shift in kind of outlook and attitude and everything changing, it's not going to work because he's of the hopeless, helpless variety. And so he tells him that going to church and being a, you know, doing that kind of religious side of things is not going to spell the necessary vital living spiritual experience. And what a blessing to have this program, and this man Roland Hazard absolutely instrumental in the chain of events bringing this program into being, because he hears this from Dr. Jung, you know, this idea of vital spiritual experience, and he goes off looking for it in the Oxford group, and it's the Oxford group tenets and kind of way of approaching things that is the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous and really underpins the program in many ways, the altruism of the program in particular. And I feel so fortunate not to have to go off looking for something, you know, in the way that Roland did. I have it here in this book. It's been compiled, it's been tried and tested. And I have to work these steps in order to get it. And I need to continue to work these steps in order for it to continue to be in me, this vital spiritual experience. So I feel so much gratitude for this man, for this doctor, because without them, you know, I wouldn't have this way out, this way to change. You know, if I do it, I'm going to change. Maybe not quickly, but it will. If I keep doing it, you know, I must keep doing it, because I'll be back in the food in no time if I don't. And then, you know, once I'm on the highway, then these rearrangements, emotional displacements can start happening. I start to pause when I want to control and push people to do what I want them to do and say, no,
this time, Tony.
Different now. Your will be done, God. So thank you, Kathy, for letting me share. And with that, I'll share the time.
Thank you, Tony. That's Tony B from Scotland. Next up, we have Jason, followed by Lucy. Come on in, Jason.
Good morning. This is Jason KP from Pennsylvania, around Philly, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. You know, it's interesting that he had somewhat of hope because he's reflecting he was a good church member, but all the while being a good church member, his alcoholism, you know, spiraled in this progressive way that things got worse and worse and worse, and he couldn't prevent himself from drinking. And I had a similar experience. You know, I was an atheist in high school and early college, and I found a philosopher who made some good arguments about how we access spiritual truth. And then suddenly, you know, I turned into a person and said, I believe in God, right? I believe there's a power, you know, greater than myself, some spiritual awakening experience. But my compulsive eating from the age 20 to 37 got progressively worse. I had some philosophical convictions, some spiritual methodologies, but I hadn't hit a surrender point. And there was too much of me in the way. You know, we talk about this vital experience, and I think of the vital signs of in the hospital, like, is the heart beating? You know, is this a living, you know, breathing thing? You know, every moment of the day, our bodies are, you know, inhaling, exhaling, you know, taking in, letting out, you know, breathing, living, alive. And for me, you know, I had to have an intense breakdown of my ego, which happened around September of 2017 after coming home from the Vision Conference. You know, something inside me broke as I had seen the recovery and the passion and the twinkle in people's eyes. And I knew with deep conviction that recovery was possible. There was people embodying, demonstrating you know, a vital spiritual experience. It just like Ebby and Bill could see in Ebby, something was different about this person. You know, something had changed. You know, you see that in people who have recovered, and that's why these in-person conferences are really amazing. And yet I went home from that conference and I ate compulsively. And something broke inside me shortly thereafter, because for 5 days I binged and purged and binged and said, I know recovery is possible. This is insane. I can't keep living like this. I have to stop. And I kept going. So the surrender then allowed God to come in because my ego was too big. I prayed the prayer of, I got this for many, many years. I got this. Yes, I'm going to use OA, but it, you know, I still had, you know, if you think of a sailboat, I was still steering. You know, I was steering, and I said, you know, OA, get behind me, and I'm going to use these tools to steer where I want to go. I hadn't fully surrendered. So this is a great paragraph, and I'll stop there. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That's Jason KP from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Lucy, followed by Joy. Come on in, Lucy.
Good morning, everyone. Lucy A., New York City. Kathy, thank you so much for leading this meeting. Yeah, I'm sharing today with a very heavy heart, but it's so important that I do share just to give experience, strength, and hope to others. My mom passed away about 36 hours ago, literally. Yesterday, I was saying this morning, you know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, right after Saturday night, basically. And here I am on this call. And the reason why I share this is because without program, without OA, I would not be on this call. I would not be sane right now. I would be in the food. There are so many things that I would be doing differently. But the hope that I've received from OA, just having the spiritual awakening, just knowing that my ego, my pride, my way, my manipulation, you know, like the way that I used to do things in the past is not the way that I do things now. Now I continue to keep this program as the number one priority. I keep God as number one. God is number one, and OA is alongside. But for me, it's one and the same. OA includes God. God is who brought me here. You know, the typical things for a funeral are happening right now. You know, my mom went through a lot these past 2 years, and ironically, as soon as I started program, literally about 2 months later, 2.5 years ago, my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer. She did well. The breast cancer is not what took her out, you know, like as they say, what took her out? No, it was just one thing after another. It was aging. It was falling. It was congestive heart failure and all of these things. And eventually, you know, she was almost 88 years old. God bless her. But this is life. Life is filled with ups and downs and challenges. And if we don't have a way to handle it, it's on us. We're only hurting ourselves. So I am just so thankful for program. I'm also so thankful for everyone that has reached out to me because I did post it in a couple of chats because I know that I need the support. I knew I'm not doing this alone. I'm letting my OA family know. I'm letting everyone know that I need to be supported and hold my arms if I'm falling. Because I need it. But I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful that I could say this with a clear mind, that I could greet my mother without going to the food, that when we were in the hospital, you know, like the doctors having meetings in side rooms and asking us, because we're four siblings, what we want to do. And I just let my siblings make the decisions. I was like, I trust God in everything, including these decisions for my mom. So my siblings wanted to have a little conversation, and I just sat back and said, guys, whatever you do, I'm okay with it. I trust you because I trust God. And in the past, I would have been the one controlling that. But thank God for this program. Thank God for this program that I was able to be there for my mom until she took her very last breath. And now we're going to be at the funeral home and greeting people and talking about, you know, my mom and all of that. But I will do so with abstinence. Even in the hospital, my siblings are constantly, who wants food? I'm going out. Who wants this? I'm going out. I would have my food packed in my bag. I would take a little walk down the hall. Nobody ever noticed. Go eat my abstinent food. Didn't need to justify what I was doing. And when they asked if I was hungry, I was like, no, I'm good. I actually ate already. And no one was keeping track. And that's okay. I didn't mean to explain why I had eaten already. I didn't need to explain what I had eaten. And when I made my outreach calls, I wasn't gone either. No one knew where I was, but I just needed to make an outreach call. I just needed to have someone to talk to. And thank God for program. And I just wanted to share that with those who are new, especially. It doesn't matter what you are going through. My husband has stage 4 stomach cancer. He went for chemo yesterday. And guess what? Tomorrow's my mom's wake. In all of this complete chaos that one day I would never have been able to handle, I'm handling it by the grace of God, just by the grace of God alone. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
We're so sorry for your loss, Lucy. We are here for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Joy, followed by Cameron C. Come on in, Joy.
Thank you so much for your service. I am Joy MB from Northern California. I am definitely a compulsive overeater in recovery, thanks to Vision. I have spent my lifetime, I remember being in the sixth grade and being told I was not going to dance in the Maypole because I was too fat. I remember my mother telling me at age 3 and 4, I'll pick your brother up, but not you. You're really fat. You know, you're getting fat. I just remember that word fat, all intertwined with all my memories through elementary school, high school. Nobody's going to dance with me. Oh, they said, what a pretty face and beautiful hair you have. Nope, nobody asked me to dance. I would be standing against the wall. And after a while, I quit going to dances. Did I search ways from the beginning of my lifetime off the fat camp as a child, every single solution that you could ever think of? And was I going to church all the time? Thank you very much. 2 to 3 times a week, worshiping at as best I knew how. And as Harlan said the other day, I was food's bitch. It was my friend, my lover, everything. And I spent thousands of dollars. There is not a program you can name that I haven't attended. Every single one. Go into the room, room full of mirrors, and they feed you horse urine, $85 I think it was, leave. I was paying $100 and something a week to a therapist who said, listen, you should be very proud of your weight. It's okay to have it. I did that for some 30 years. I could choke her now. I worked on that in my 10-step resentment. No, it wasn't all right, because heart failure isn't all right. Knees that are gone and back surgery is not all right. So I am really grateful for visions, and I'm grateful for the higher power that it taught me that I absolutely must acknowledge and obey. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joy MV from California. And if I failed to do so, who shared before Joy, it was Lucy A from New York. Next up, we have Cameron C, followed by Vasa O. And after Vasa, I could take another lineup. And just to remind anyone who came in after we started, we are in the chapter, There's a Solution. We are on page 27. We are at the bottom of the page, the fifth paragraph, which starts, upon hearing this, we read to the end of the paragraph, spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And Cameron C., come on in and share with us, please.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, community. Cameron C. from rocking Columbus, Ohio. Thank you, Kathy. And I really appreciate everyone being here. This is one of my favorite meetings, and I try to start my commute or my work day with this meeting. This passage for me is really a special passage, not for the reason most people think, mostly because when I came into OA, I really didn't want to be there. I really kind of was very suspicious. And as a newcomer, I was desperate, but I really expected there to be a gotcha. And I remember reading through the big book thinking, okay, And the gotcha is my religion, right? But pick one of the religions and we're going to tell you this is what you got. And this passage for me was really special just because it didn't tell me that I was going to have to believe somebody's narrative. I have a strong faith tradition, but it doesn't generally help me in program. But I remember seeing people in program who had tons of recovery and they had that vitality. They had that spark. I remember I used to call them sort of like, I'd be like, these are like monks, you know, these are like Buddhist monks or high priests. I mean, they have all this discipline I could never have. And they have this vitality around food and not food neutrality that I could never have. And this passage for me really began to explain it. And of course, I got the recovery. I lost over 125 pounds. I went from 350 that I had been a prisoner of my fat all the way down to 225. And I didn't really keep the vitality. I just kept the discipline with the group and eventually I gained it all back. And when I came back to OA 14 years later, I'd gotten the gift of no sugar because I was a true sugar addict. And I never went back to sugar, and I did get those promises. I cured my diabetes, and I never had any diabetes symptoms again, even with the weight back. But the vitality is what I didn't have. And really what they're talking about here is a spiritual practice. And you get the recovery from the practice and all the blessings come with it. So for me, this is a really hopeful passage. And it's also an explainer. And that is, you have to have a change and you have to keep the change. And that for me is spiritual practice. And that's one thing I love about this meeting, because it is a community of spiritual uplift. And I noticed when I looked at who was successful, people who have been successful have a vital experience and a vital practice. And oftentimes this vision for you is part of it. So that's why I'm here. Thank you all.
Thank you, Cameron. That's Cameron C. from Ohio. Next up, we have Vasa. And after Vasa, I can take another lineup. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you shared on Friday or Monday at either meeting, we ask that you hold back. So Vasa, come on in and share with us, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. And I am Vasa O, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Port Tyler, Florida, where snowbirds. But anyways, there was really nothing that I wanted when I came in the program to lose the weight. I've been suffering with the food addiction from 15 years old till I was like 41 years old when I came to the program. And it's a gift from the program. It's a gift from God. And I'm grateful that my sponsor gave me the big book, although I remember saying to her, well, I'm not an alcoholic. Why are you giving me this book? She said, that's okay, cross alcohol. But anyways, and then in my OA program, we got the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and we had the 4 for today. We had the other book, Abstinence, and it was a gift. You know, I was hearing things that I never heard before, but I also heard it was a spiritual program. It was not a religious program. The reason was I had my own religion, and I didn't want to be sucked into somebody else's religion, and I loved hearing it's a spiritual program. It's not a religious, and that's what kept me coming. And then when I was asked to speak, from the basement in that church, for the first time, I was terrified, and I remember going upstairs in front of the altar and asking God, higher power, whoever you are there, please give me the power, give me the strength to do this. I'm terrified. I grew up in a communist country. They taught us in that country there was no God, and the teachers taught us there's no God, and of course I wanted to believe them. And my father was a pastor, so I had a lot of confusion, you know, a priest, you know. And my father had his own doubts as human beings, even those people, even if they're in church, they read the Bible, they serve in the churches, and they're human beings, and they have their own addictions they deal with, and they have doubts about God too. So, but anyways, I needed to find a power greater than myself. And my sponsor said, the only way we can do it, Vasa, if we surrender to a power greater than ourselves. Well, it was not working, you know, the way I was doing it for so many years. I didn't think I was going to see my 50th birthday. So I'm 41 years old, and I said, my mom passed on at 62 years old, maybe a couple of years, you know, 2 years before I came to the program. And I do believe my mother's in heaven, since she prayed to God that she was struggling with the food addiction. We had no, you know, it did exist in those years, but we didn't even know. And some people know, they're Christians, they're in church, they're suffering, but they cannot give up. I'll give anything to God, but I will not give up the food. So, but anyways, I'm grateful. In the bathroom, I surrendered to God the way. On your knees, Vasa, humble yourself. And I said, God, forgive me for all the sins. I do what she told me to do. Forgive me for all the sins I committed. Please help me. I surrender. And I had that vital spiritual experience right there in the bathroom. It was not in church. It just shows God is everywhere. Thank you very much. God is everywhere. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa O from Florida. We're now ready to take more names. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute yourself.
Charles H.
And please, thank you, Charles. Susan. Give me your first name.
Susan.
Melissa F.
Ken W.
Laurel
I heard.
Laurel H.
Laurel B.
Hannah Yetta. And can you tell us where we are, please, Kathy?
Of course. Let me just say who I heard, and I need two more names. We have Charles, Susan, Ken, Laurel, and Hanietta. I need two more names, and then I'll tell you where we are.
Melissa F.
Jane E.
Who was after Melissa?
Jane H.
Okay, great. So that's our lineup. We have Charles, Susan, Ken, Laurel, Hanietta, Melissa, and Jane H., and we are on page 27 in There's a Solution. We're at the bottom of the page, the fifth paragraph. Upon hearing this, to the bottom, spell the necessary vital spiritual experience, and come in, Charles, and share with us.
Thank you very much for your service. So God is the biggest problem and the biggest solution in 12-step history. So much blockage that, you know, we split hairs, talk about spirituality and religion. You know, the simple religious idea is surrender. And, you know, Bill, this is the vital spiritual experience is so important. There's an asterisk on page 25. Excuse me. Please mute. Don't do that. We're not doing that today. Thank you. Yeah, so the vital spiritual experience is on page 25, 27, and 47. If it wasn't important, Bill wouldn't have put it in asterisk on the bottom of those pages. You know, 27 is a powerful page. I'm not one of those. This is my favorite. Listen, the whole damn book is great. It's amazing. And so let me drill back with the, you know, with the dispute between religion and spirituality. Without the surrender piece, there would be no spirituality, right? And so I'm so grateful to hear every, you know, I remember coming on the line and hearing things that I didn't want to hear that really, you know, it broke my heart. I'm so grateful
for the religious and the spirituality. When I intertwine both of them in my life, I have a great life today. You know, I realized those things I didn't want to hear was something that I needed to hear. So it's so good to intertwine this thing and don't be for me, not to dispute it, because I'm a spiritual rebel. You know, somebody say something or try to disrespect me, I'm on their neck. But just for today, with spirituality sprinkled with religion, I have compassion, patience, pity, tolerance for people today. I don't have a quick fuse today. My fuse is a little longer, and I'm grateful for such a great meeting and to be among so much greatness. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Charles H. from New York. Next up, we have Susan, followed by Ken W.H., and then Laurel. Susan, come on in and share with us, please.
Yeah, this is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered today. And first off, I want to apologize for missing my check-in this morning and letting my meeting down. I love this meeting, and I do, you know, I owe it my attention. Vital spiritual experience. Okay, what can I learn from this? I can recall that I may make a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. I'm loved right here where I am. And I trust that that's the truth. My higher power does not cast me out when I make a mistake. The vital spiritual experience continues. Mine has been the educational variety. I'm so glad we read yesterday's spiritual experience. And then revisit today, my vital spiritual experience continues. You know, as long as I'm learning, as long as I'm staying open to keep learning, then it continues. And I'm certainly not perfect, and I understand that, and I accept that, and I know that I'm loved as human as I am, and grateful for the directions that helped me turn back to a higher power, even when I feel a little less than worthy. I can still turn to my higher power, and he never turns away. So grateful to be here. Sorry to let my people down. And grateful that I don't have to, it doesn't have to bowl me over. My whole day does not have to be ruled by it. But hopefully I can do better from here on in, and I will pass.
Susan, you did not let us down. That's Susan S.H. from Ohio. Thank you for your service. Next up, we have Ken, followed by Laurel and then Hanietta. Come on in, Ken.
Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'm aware that in this paragraph, there is not the word we, which tells me right away that I can't speak for anybody else. All I can do is speak for me and my experience and my strength and my hope. And what I'm aware of in this paragraph, and it's made clear to me in the language that's used, that religion and spirituality are not mutually exclusive. You can have one and the other at the same. I can, speaking for myself. And that has been my experience, and I am so grateful for it. The paragraph says that this gentleman thought that his religion, his attendance, and his convictions, which are his mental thoughts and things about God, that they were going to fix him. And the doctor said to him, in his case, it didn't work. It didn't say that going to church, regular discipline, and everything else didn't work. It said that in his case, it didn't work. That doesn't mean that it can work in my case. And I'm grateful that I've come to understand that. I've heard many times in these meetings and other meetings and for a lot of years, this conflict with spirituality and religion. And there isn't for me. They go together, hand in glove. There is nothing in the program that contradicts or conflicts with my convictions from my religious experience as well. And that's the good news. It allows me to be who I am. This paragraph is about me, really. And in my case, what is my case? And my case is that they are not mutually exclusive, that they go hand in hand very, very well, thank you very much, for me. And I'll leave it at that. I'm just so grateful that I've been shown this way to go. Yeah, I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Ken W.H. from North Carolina. We have 9 minutes left, and we have four more shares. We have Laura, followed by Hanietta, Melissa S., and Jane. I don't know if we're going to get to you, but hang in there. Laura, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. This is Laurel spelled with a Y. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Chicago, Illinois, and thank you for your service. Upon reading this paragraph, I could really identify with this. I am a born-again Christian, and I still, without program, I would eat chocolate bunnies and jelly beans in the holidays coming up, and I couldn't stop from eating because I'm a real compulsive overeater. I needed this program, and I needed a spiritual experience along with my religious convictions. I needed a spiritual experience brought about by surrendering and working these 12 steps. And they have really changed my life. And I too have been through a lot lately. I have been through mourning of my mom and my sister 3 years ago, and mourning of my friend and my counselor, and several surgeries on my foot, and recently a reverse shoulder replacement on my shoulder. And I've gone through these things abstinently only because of, you know, I have spiritual experience. I help others. I work the program of recovery. And I'm eternally grateful for this meeting. It's helped me a lot, and my sponsor and my fellows. And I'm just feeling really grateful. And I know that I'm going to go into this holiday and I'm going to get the meaning of the holiday because I won't be focused on the food around it. And I'm so grateful for that. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Laura with a Y from Illinois. And we have 7 minutes left where Hanietta R., Melissa and Jane. Come on in, Hanietta.
Hi, thank you, Kathy, for your service. Please tell me when I have 2 minutes left. Okay, I mean, when
certainly.
I, after 2 minutes. Okay, so my name is Hanietta. It starts with a C-H, Hanietta. And, excuse me, I first want to welcome all the newcomers or people struggling and tell you don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, because this paragraph is about miracles to me. It's telling you that you have to surrender. You have to have a vital spiritual experience. And how do you get that? Well, to me, I've had many. I've had the aha spiritual experiences, or the knowledge-based spiritual experiences. But I see miracles every day. And I think every time I see a miracle, it's kind of a small little spiritual experience or spiritual, whichever one you, anyway, whatever they are, I always get it confused. But, you know, I love being on this meeting because we look at things in such a way that we dissect everything, you know, and when he learned that there was nothing he could do, and he says, well, I go to church, well, I went to the synagogue, and, you know, I and I loved going to the synagogue, and but that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, you know. I knew that God could help me, but when I first came in for quite a while, I thought I was such a piece of garbage that I didn't deserve to have God help me, because I'd done so many bad things and I was such a bad person, bad, bad, bad. Today, I don't put those things out. I am not a bad person. I'm a good person, and I love myself just the way I am. And I think that's such a big root of things, that we have to learn to love ourselves just the way we are, with all my failings, with all my mistakes, with everything I do that's wrong. I have to forgive myself, and I have to go on and love myself. And Charles, I apologize. I forgot to hit mute, and then I talked to my dog. I apologize. Sorry for interrupting you. Thank you very much.
That's wonderful. Thank you for all your service, Anietta. Okay, we have 5 minutes. So if Melissa and Jane both take 2.5 minutes, we'll be able to get you both in. Melissa, please come in and share with us. Oh, that's Anietta R. from Texas.
Hi.
I don't want to miss that. Thank you, Melissa.
Okay. 2.5 minutes. Okay, here's my timer. Okay, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. And okay, just trying to get set up there. I'm new, and this is my first time sharing on the meeting. I've been coming for like, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, something like that. And I'm happy I got in to share today. Don't really exactly know what I want to say, just knew I wanted to share. And I think I've been going to lots of different meetings for years. And in the meetings I would go to, I would hear people say, I've been in OA for years, and now I belong here. And I was in the other fellowships for years, and now I feel like I came here and I belong here. So I don't really know where I fall on the OA spectrum and really exactly what my true things are, except that I know I definitely have allergies, and I totally have been abstaining. And I definitely know that I've been saying for a long time, I can't. You know, doctor says you should eat, not, you know, you need to lose weight, you need to do this. And I'm like, I can't. You need to write down your food. I can't. You need to do this. I can't. And I'm going to keep on listening, and I want to get through the steps. I'm a little anxious about that. I'm not trying to rush it, but I can't take too long. So a lot of people have reached out to me, and I feel like this crazy amount of support and love from everybody here. Everyone I call or calls me, it's just like amazing in 1 minute, how are you? And it's not like your friend or your sister or who says, how are you all day long and doesn't really mean it. Okay, perfect. Thanks for letting me share, everyone. Melissa S. from New Jersey.
Thank you so much, Melissa S. from New Jersey. And last up to take us out, we have Jane. Come on in, Jane. Please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Can I be heard okay?
We hear you well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for your service on this meeting. And thank you, Fellowship, for my life. I am really so grateful today. And here's what I have on the whole vital spiritual experience thing. You know, I'm very good at doing what I'm told. And I'm very good at beetling along and having lots of disciplines. And those are useful things. But for me, the vital spiritual experience that's being discussed here on this page means, can God create in me a transformation of my heart where instead of talking about, thinking about, talking about, obsessing about, like me and what I call sometimes stage four self, you know, we have like stage four cancer, and I know that my whole life I've had a bad case of stage four self. And that basically means that even though, you know, it's not that I never did a generous thing, it's not that I never behaved nicely, but so often it's all been about getting what I want, having what I want now, and then more. And what I am really working on with the grace of the loving God is to move to a place of selflessness and thinking, what can I bring to this situation? How can I be loving? What would my higher power have me do in this particular situation? How can I bring God into this specific situation in this moment, regardless of what I'm doing, regardless of where I am? And I think that for me, that is what is spelling the vital spiritual experience in the small action, in the everyday, in what I am endeavoring to do. It's that shift from self-centeredness to genuine love for others, genuine willingness and desire to be a conduit for my higher power. And, you know, it's not an overnight matter. Thank you so much.
Jane, I'm sorry to have to rush you off. I didn't calculate it right. Can you give us the where you're calling in from? Jane H., where you're calling in from?
From Louisiana.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry to rush you off. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
No worries.
For who shared today and for all the service that people did being here in the month of March. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, March 31st, at 7 a.m. meeting is 23,326. That's 23326. We're now going to close for a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tony B., please come in and read for us. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Kathy. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.